Good Saturday morning to everybody, and welcome to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show, along with Director of Family Services of the CCA, Chris Radlitz. I'm Gary Byron. Chris, good morning there, my friend.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I'm hanging in there over here, brother.
You're hanging in there?
You have to.
You look great, though.
Do I?
Yeah, you don't look like you're hanging in. You look like life is good.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Chris, yeah. I bet you say that to everybody, though, right?
No, I don't talk to anybody but you.
Yeah. Mr. Popularity? You mean you?
Are you Mr. Popularity?
Absolutely. Everybody. When people see you, they gravitate towards you. You're like a magnet. Everybody wants to talk to Chris Radlitz.
Is that right?
It's true.
Why am I so lonely?
That is definitely not true.
Hey, you never know.
I feel so lonely.
Is that a song?
I could die. Weren't you just singing before we went to air, right?
I'm always singing before we go to air.
That's true.
I got to get it out of my system because heaven forbid if I should start to sing on live air.
It's the Starbucks and the bagel that really keep you going.
All right. Look, you know, you had to bring that up, didn't you?
I'm just as guilty as you. I same thing. We take our coffee the same.
We take our coffee the same. We like the same bagels. This is dangerous.
The same music? Right?
That's very true.
How has your week been?
My week has been, so honestly, the week has been stressful, and I'll tell you why.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's, you know, we have mentioned on the show in the past that we're hiring because we have, fortunately for us, we were able to reach a lot of families, and as it turns out, you know, we need more people to further the mission. Problem is trying to find people. It has become really, really difficult to try and find people that are interested in working.
Family Service Advisors, FSAs.
Family Service Advisors, FSAs. And, you know, it's a wonderful position. It's very fulfilling to an individual.
But it's not something everybody can do.
No, it's true. But I'll tell you what, pre-pandemic, I would put an ad out and I would get 20, 30, 40 resumes.
Wow.
And I would have plenty of people that I could choose to talk to and then interview in detail. Now it's like one, if that.
What do you attribute that to?
I don't know. I just don't understand.
But that's pretty much how the workforce is right now.
See, that's just it. So I can't sit here and cry because everybody I talk to who's in business tells me the same thing. Now, they're having an impossible time finding people.
Very true. And I understood that at one point when people were when unemployment was extended and then they didn't have to even show proof of that they went anywhere to look for employment, and then they were receiving the federal subsidy with $600, an extra $600. But that's gone, and now you do have to show proof of where you've gone to receive your local unemployment. So, without the extra supplemental money from the feds, how are people even living right now?
Listen, I don't know. Maybe I'm naive in today's world. I still have a hard time understanding how anybody would just sit home and say, "Okay, pay me." Yeah. You know, I'll just not do anything because it's easier for me to just sit here and let somebody else give me stuff.
Yeah, see, because you're of sound mind. I've said this on my morning show, but believe me, there are people who say, you know, I paid into the system. I feel like I'm being screwed by the system. You know, I'm only making X amount of dollars. I feel like I'm overworked and unappreciated. Forget it.
Yeah, but see, there's people out there who have real needs. Mm-hmm. There's people out there who, when they get unemployment, I mean, that's how they feed their family. You know, that's a different situation than someone who is able and willing to, or able and has an opportunity to get a job and just refuses to do so because they just want to collect free money. I mean, think about the psychological impact of that for a moment, okay? I don't know how long the government subsidies went on. I guess it was like almost a year.
Till September.
No, but whatever.
Oh, for how long did it last?
I mean, maybe probably a year or something like that.
Yeah, about a year.
How do you spend a year not being productive in some professional capacity so that you are responsible for earning money to support yourself, your family, your whatever position you happen to be in? I don't understand it.
That's a good question, but there are people out there. I mean, you could ask yourself the same, how could somebody, you know, choose to do whatever, you know? And there's always somebody who feels that they've been taken advantage of for so long. They squirreled money away, so now they're going to live off that. Of course, that money's going to run out at some point, whatever they've had in their savings. And then they'll rejoin the workforce. But doesn't look like it's happening anytime too soon.
You know, I guess I tie your personal accomplishments kind of to your just innate humanity. So that if you need to be productive in some manner for your own mental health, your own mental well-being. How do you not do something that makes you feel proud or makes you feel that you've achieved something? And I mean, look, even it doesn't matter what your position is. You know, if you just, but you go to work diligently every day and you accomplish something, yeah, maybe you don't feel appreciated. Yeah, you know what? Most of us don't feel appreciated. But maybe you don't feel appreciated. Maybe things aren't perfect in your life. But you know what? You're still out there. You're trying. You're working. You're accomplishing things.
You want,
and at the end of the day, you feel like you've done something of good for society and yourself.
It's a feeling. Oh, it's a feeling of fulfillment. But you're under the presumption that we're all like-minded and we all feel that same way. As much as I agree with you, there, just like any other issue, there's people who are going to disagree, and those are the individuals that we're talking about.
But again, I'm going back to that innate nature of humanity.
No, I get
that. We were not created
to just sit around and
sit on our butts and do nothing.
I get you.
We're created to make things happen, to do things. And you know what? The favorite saying, one of my favorite sayings, which I laugh a little bit, is I'm going to go do something, whether it's right or wrong. You know, I'm just going to go do something because even if it's wrong, that's the word. I'm going to go do something even if it's wrong because we have to be active. We have to be constantly striving to do something. And I don't mean we have to burn ourselves out. But how do you not get burned out from sitting around? I mean, like, doesn't it bother you? Don't you feel like, okay, what am I going to do today? I'll watch another show. I don't know. Maybe those people are out there earning livings doing something else and still collect. I don't know. I just don't understand.
You know, it's like listening to my friends. You'll hear people sometime, well, I just binge watched blah, 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 blah. I can tell you, I have never binge watched anything. I have never had an opportunity to sit in front of a television. I take that back. Football. I have watched football games because, yeah, I get it. They're 3 hours. And if you watch two on a Sunday or sometimes even three because you have Sunday night and you're talking about winter time and it gets dark early and it's cold. And it might be bad weather outside. I've never watched a show.
You want me to give you a ladder for that hole you just dug?
I know. I've never binge watched a television show. Where somebody said, I watched one full season of blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, you mean like an episode? No, no, Gary, the full season. I'm like, there's 12 shows in that season, you know, and that's 12 hours. What are you talking about? You just watched 12, like from, oh, yeah, from 10 in the morning till 10 at night. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I've never done that.
I can't sit still that long.
Well, that's part of it. Yeah.
I mean, look, am I capable of vegging out? Absolutely.
Yeah, but vegging out usually requires some sleep.
And I'm really good at it, yeah. I might add. But I don't, yeah, no. And look, I don't hold anything against people because every once in a while someone says, oh, man, I binge watched this. Okay, well, if you've done that once in the last 6 months, yeah, fine. You know, God bless you. Good. Yeah, you relaxed. You enjoyed yourself. You had fun. There was a show you really liked. Maybe you sat around with your wife, your family, and you were all watching it. And, you know, so there was something positive. Hey, that's fine. But every week if you hear, oh, I binge watched so-and-so this week, and next week you hear, oh, I binge watched so-and-so. Really?
Yeah.
Wow, man, what's your life like?
even if I were snowed in, if I were snowed in and couldn't go anywhere, I'm not saying I wouldn't watch television. I'd probably watch television for a few hours, but I couldn't watch 5-6 hours of anything. I'd have to read. I'd have to walk around, maybe make a pot of coffee. I'd have to, you know, socialize. Maybe get online and do some work, do some prep work for what, you know, the following week's shows or the following day, what day, depending on what day of the week I was snowed in. Go out and shovel or snowplow or I couldn't just sit there in front of the TV. I could probably watch a movie, maybe even two, but not back to back. In between, I'd need a couple hours off to.
Yeah, you got
to
cook.
There you go. Okay, cook.
We got to eat, don't we?
Sure. And depending on who I'm with.
That's right.
Might be other things, you know, to occupy my time. You know, maybe go for a walk or, you know.
Yeah.
Cook.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a week it's been, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a.
Evidently, this one's going to be just as interesting.
Yeah, no. Listen, let's maybe we can begin by telling, maybe talking about something pertaining to the CCA, what they're offering to families to help out financially in pre-planning efforts? I know the upcoming Dignity of Life seminars in November. I don't know if you have any of that. And then we can talk about Thanksgiving in a moment, too.
Thanksgiving, yeah.
It's coming up later on next week.
Right. So actually, we do have a special running right now from now till the end of December, end of 2021, I guess. And it's 0% financing, which is something that I know some families in the Archdiocese have seen that we've done before. Mm-hmm. This is a little different this year because it's 0% financing with no money down.
Oh.
And that's something that we've never done. So if you purchase anything that's less than $7,500, you have 24 months to pay equal payments. Or sorry, more than $7,500. And if it's less than $7,500, it's 12 equal monthly payments for 1 year. So the only thing that's due is the first payment at the time of sale, which is much different than the 30% down that you would normally get or something. So there's technically no down payment. It's just the first payment. That's been something we've done once in the past. The families of the Archdiocese have really appreciated it. And it's running from now until the end of the year. So I encourage you, if anyone has been thinking about having a conversation with a family service advisor about taking care of your pre-planning, this is probably a really good time to do it. And then you also mentioned Dignity of Life seminars. And we have one on November 23rd at St. Leo's Church in Waterbury.
That's right. I knew you had one coming.
Yeah.
Up. Yeah.
And that's at 6 p.m. So I always encourage people to go to those because it's a wonderful way of just sitting back and gaining a tremendous amount of education and knowledge about not only cemeteries, but funeral homes and many legal issues, because we have, again, attorneys and funeral directors, ourselves, long-term care for folks. So people get to learn an awful lot in a very non-threatening educational environment.
I had made mention of Thanksgiving. And after the year that we've had with COVID and, I don't know, everybody's lives have changed, it seems, sadly, more for the worse than for the better. I wish I could say otherwise. An interesting year. What a year to be thankful. You want to share what you're thankful for?
What am I thankful for?
Yeah.
You know what? I have so much to be thankful for. I don't know how I could spend time talking about it all here, but I will tell you a couple of things. One, I'm thankful for the gift of the faith that I've got, because to me that's been something that has carried me through in many dark moments of my life, difficult times for myself, my family. So that gift of faith is one thing I'm very thankful for. Two, I'm very thankful for the people that my family, because my family to me is probably the greatest gift that God could have ever given me. The opportunity to not only help them, but to grow together with them. So family is very important to me. And lastly, I think I'm very thankful for the people that I work with, because I have such wonderful folks who care so much about the families of the Archdiocese.
Sure.
That for me, it's a true blessing to come to work every day. I know we joke about this, but I don't know how many people really love getting up in the morning and going to work. I'm one of them. I mean, I absolutely adore getting up, getting dressed, going to work, putting in a good day's work, knowing that my families are, you know,
you're lucky.
My people are helping families. And because not only at the end of the day do they feel good, but so do I. So, yeah, there's a lot to be thankful for.
I'll tell you what, if I had to come up with three things myself, you're right. My faith, my relationship with God never wanes. My family and is the most important to me. My friends also, and the new friends that I've made. And you hit the nail on the head when you talk about your job and the fact that we still have a job and we're successful at our job, particularly at a time when there are people who are just as successful in their respective career. And for one reason or another, they lost it, whether the corporation or the business went out of business or their position was eliminated due to downsizing. Sadly, there's way too many stories of that. But the fact that you and I mentioned nearly identical, actually, we did mention identical thing, our faith and our family and friends and our career. Yeah.
You know, you mentioned something that is kind of near and dear to my heart. When you work in a profession of some sort and you're happy with your job, you're working hard, you're trying to do everything that's right for yourself, for your clients, for your organization, and I don't care what kind of a company it is, okay? You're just out there gainfully working and helping people and helping the company. And then all of a sudden you're let go for no fault of your own. Or there's just right. some there's
oh,
some
a lot of that.
Financial accounting issue that comes up and decides, well, guess what? Sorry, but you just happen to come up.
Yeah.
Well, I have a special place in my heart for those people. I feel so badly for them. And, you know, it used to be when I was a kid, okay, and my father would get up and go to work every day. You know, he was always going to have a job, and he could stay with that company all his life. And they would take care of him, and he would take care of them because the job was there. There was a loyalty to the employees. There was a loyalty back to the company. And that sadly seems to have fallen by the wayside. So you don't have that same feeling about knowing that you can go to work and you know that nothing's going to happen within this organization that's hinky, that's all of a sudden, for no fault of your own, you're going to lose your job. Okay? That doesn't happen anymore. Nowadays, you can lose your job in the blink of an eye. And it has nothing to do with your performance or how you're doing or what your attitude is. It has nothing to do with it. It's because there's a financial, you know, need somewhere that occurs, and guess what? You're the guy that gets chosen, or you're part of the group that gets chosen because it's going to be better for the company in the long term. Well, you know, you and I have had this conversation in the past. There's nothing more important than people. And in the organization that we have, that we work together, your organization, the people that you work, that's what makes the company. That's what makes not only the products or services, but we're the culture and the humanity of an organization. And when you take that factor out of the equation, it's just not helpful.
That's a great point. Do you think people, and you could ask this question almost every year. In fact, it often does. But this year in particular, do you think people are as grateful, or we'll use the word thankful since we're heading into Thanksgiving week. Do you think people are as thankful today as they were in years past, or even as last year or the year before?
Like with most things, I think our level of thankfulness is graded. Depends on what your experiences were. I'll tell you what, have you lost someone due to COVID in the last year and a half? You're probably going to be thankful for still being here. You know, if you've gone through the disease and you made it through, you're probably thankful about that. It's hard for me to think what other people are thinking now, because when we were in the midst of it, everybody was thankful for so many things, that they didn't get it, that they still were able to work remotely, that there was an opportunity to spend time with family where they didn't have the opportunities in the past. Now it's almost like, you know, people have gone back to work and it's a different feeling. It's a different environment. I don't know. I just don't know. My sense tells me that they're not as thankful, but I don't think that they've completely eliminated the feeling of thanks for the things they've got.
Then let me rephrase that, or maybe ask it in a different way.
Sure.
Do you think we appreciate what we already have? We live in such a time when too much is never enough. I have this, yeah, but I want that. I want more. I want that, you know. And there are people who live in this world who would just be grateful for running water or a flushing toilet, you know, or enough food, and we have an abundance often. Do you, and we're complaining that our toys don't work. And God must look down upon us. And at times we as Americans and say, you take things for granted. You don't know how well you have it. Do you think he's disappointed in us to some degree? Maybe that's two questions in there, but I just wonder if we take things for granted, if we're grateful enough for what we already have and we treasure what we have, when others would really love to have what we have.
You know the old saying, to whom much is given, much is expected?
Oh, yeah.
I have a feeling people have lost sight of that. And you said it when you said that, you know, they have some things, but they always want more. They always want more. One of the things that, as humans, we always strive for things. And we strive to do better, and we strive to reach different levels. But I think the motivation behind it is something that has to come into play. And if your sole motivating factor is financial, then you're kind of missing the boat, I think, in why you're struggling so hard to rise up the corporate ladder or gain some kind of fame or whatever it is that you choose. Because I think the reasons are what are most important in driving everything that we do. It's almost like when we had our conversation about sin. You can't really sin if there's no intent to. Okay? If you're doing something that's sinful, and but your intent is not to be sinful because you don't know, then you're not really going to be held accountable. You can't be held accountable. Well, this is the same kind of thing. You know, you're driving forward to do something, but you know better. You do know. You know that that can't be, that motivating factor can't be the single most important thing in your life. Because you were probably raised with some kind of faith in your background. You probably, you know, so somewhere in life you either ignored that faith or you made a conscious decision not to pay attention to what the tenets of the faith were and you move forward. And I'm not talking about Catholicism. I'm just talking about faith in general. Some recognition of something greater than us. Okay? I think that's probably the best way for me to say it. We do not recognize sometimes that we are not the sole interests that exist.
Folks, you are listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show, along with Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services of the CCA. I'm Gary Byron. You can check them out online at ccacem.org. I guess it's a great segue. We're talking about Thanksgiving. We're less than a week away, as I already mentioned. How does this discussion of this holiday, how does it pertain to the tenets of Christianity? Giving thanks to Jesus, for example, for our lives and the path to redemption, let's say.
Well, I'm glad you choose such a simple question.
Thank you. Yeah. Smart
Alec. Well, no, I'm all right. So look, you know, I'll speak from the Catholic standpoint. You know, for us, the pinnacle of Thanksgiving is the Eucharist. As the Catechism points out, you know, Thanksgiving characterizes the prayer of the Church, which is all about the thankfulness for the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross for our redemption, okay? So, as Catholic Americans, you know, we have a responsibility to God, to the world, and to future generations to keep Christ in our culture. Or more specifically, I think, for us to be other Christs within that culture. You know, we should be encouraging any part of the American culture that affirms God and His plan for us. So Thanksgiving Day in particular is one part of our culture that does this. And I think it's important that we continue to realize that in these times of political unrest and confusion, in some cases economic problems, we have to focus our minds and hearts on God and His divine providence.
Sure.
Because we're not going to be saved by any one president. We're not going to be saved by any political party. We'll only be saved by God and by the prayers of its citizens, okay? So the Catechism of the Church reminds us that love and service of one's country follow from a duty of gratitude and belong to the order of charity. And that when we talk about Thanksgiving, there's nothing more charitable and humble than getting on your knees and saying thank you to this greater being, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned the Mass. Well, the connection between the Mass and the concept of Thanksgiving, it's a very intimate one. And I think that many times in our faith, we tragically overlook that fact. The Eucharist is the center of our faith, and it's the high point and pinnacle of the Mass because it's the real presence of Christ. It's His body, blood, soul, and divinity that's there for us to see and to participate every single time we attend Mass. Now, we recognize this, and it's the greatest presence and union with Christ that's possible on earth. So, to us, the Mass is really the highest form of thanksgiving that we can give.
What would you say to people then that feel that there is no need to celebrate or worship, you know, privately or publicly, because the holiday has strong puritanical historical roots then?
Well, I mean, Puritanism was a form of faith, okay? So we can still say that faith was a huge part of the original Thanksgiving. If you go back in history, excuse me, the first American Thanksgiving was actually celebrated in St. Augustine, Florida, back in, 1565? That's the first real Thanksgiving Day.
Is that right? Oh.
Yeah. And the Native Americans and Spanish settlers held a feast, and a Holy Mass was offered, a Catholic Holy Mass. So when you talk about Thanksgiving in our faith, they're very closely interlinked, because the first Thanksgiving Day actually had a Holy Mass offered. The second similar Thanksgiving celebration occurred in 1598 in Texas, when Don Juan de Oñate, I think is his name, He declared a day of Thanksgiving to be commemorated by the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And then, of course, the Catholic origins of Thanksgiving don't stop there. Squanto, who's the beloved hero of Thanksgiving for Native Americans, mm-hmm. he was a Native American man who mediated between the Puritan pilgrims and the Native Americans. Squanto had been enslaved by the English, but he was freed by Spanish Franciscans and thus received baptism and became Catholic. So it was a baptized Catholic Native American. So it may seem that there is no liturgical or Catholic tradition that's hooked with American Thanksgiving, but it's actually deeply rooted in our Catholic faith.
Wow. This is why this show is so important. I bet a lot of people weren't even aware that the very first American Thanksgiving was actually celebrated on September 8th of 1565 in St. Augustine, Florida.
Yeah. And that it was celebrated with Catholic Mass.
Right. Right. Exactly. Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. There's other questions I could ask you, but I've only got, 30 seconds.
Okay.
So I'm not even going to bother. I can't go there. We're just running out of time.
All right.
Folks, if you have a question that maybe you'd like to have answered on this very show, there is a way that you can email Chris Radlitz. It's simple. Simply email ccawdrc@gmail.com. Now, again, that's not emailing the Catholic Cemeteries Association. That's for this show that we can get your question asked and answered. I'll repeat that for you. ccawdrc@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Now, if you would like to head over to the Catholic Cemeteries Association website, that's easy to do as well, though. www.ccacem.org. Again, that's ccacem.org. And, of course, toll-free 800-505-0080. Once again, 800-505-0080. For Chris Radlitz, the Director of Family Services for the Catholic Cemeteries Association, I'm Gary Byron. Thank you so much for listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association show. Until next Saturday, have a good one, everybody. So long.